Welcome to the Dream Freedom Beauty Podcast. I'm your hostess, Natalie Ross, and this is a show where I encourage intuitives, empaths, and healers to tune into their true selves, to tune into what their heart is saying, and to reconnect with their inner nature through being in outer nature. This show is a lot. It's so much. It's everything I wish that I had on my spiritual journey when I was waking up and wondering what the heck was going on. So for those of you who are walking the path, no matter where you are in your journey, I welcome you. And today's guest is Vienda Maria, someone who has inspired me ever since right before I launched Dream Freedom Beauty. I came across her and I was like, wow, this lady is leading a very interesting and fun looking life. And I've wanted to talk to her ever since I came across her. So I finally get to bring her to all of you and share some of her delightful insights. She is in British Columbia in Canada. So if any of you are up in that area, perhaps you may connect one day. And I want to say a huge thank you to all of our Patreon supporters and to everyone who's left a review on iTunes. These kinds of things are super helpful for just keeping the show going, for helping to produce it and pay for the costs of running a show. And I'm grateful for all of you, for all the appreciation that you have shown. And also I have a big announcement. I am planning on and doing some investigatory research into creating a new daily show. A show that is all about self-care and that covers a broader spectrum of backgrounds and people than what Dream Freedom Beauty tends to focus on. Though it will still be aligned with intuitives, empaths, and healers, but in a much broader sense. And so this new show, it will be all about self-care. And one thing I am offering is an affordable way for any of you who are business owners who would like to advertise and sponsor the show to step up and help me produce the show and also put yourself in front of thousands of people who are your ideal audience. I'm all about helping to connect those of you who have services, products, art, or other offerings with those who you are meant to serve so that we can all be supported in the ways that help us to grow this collective and community in healthy, empowering ways. And so I really hope that those of you who hear this and feel a yes in your heart will reach out, go just check out my contact page on Dream Freedom Beauty and let me know you're interested and I'll send you the information. This show is, I'm intending to launch it in October, so there's a little bit of time if you want to think about it, but I urge you to at least get in touch so I can save you a spot so they don't sell out. And now for today's show. I hope you enjoy it. Welcome to the show, Vienda. It's awesome to get to talk to you in real life because I've been reading your website and newsletters for about a year and a half now. So hello.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. So before we get into our show, I want to take a moment to invite us and our listeners, everyone listening, to close their eyes if it's safe. If you're driving, leave them open. And just take a moment to notice your breath. Always remembering you can tune into your breath and tune into how it feels coming into your body. And as you breathe out, allow yourself to relax, letting go of any tension you may be carrying with you today. And as you breathe in and out again, allow yourself to relax even deeper into this moment. And I'm going to set the intention here and invite you all as listeners to hear exactly what you need to hear in order to take that next step or have that insight or aha moment that will help you move forward in living your purpose, standing in your truth, and owning your power. And one final breath on the out breath. Relax even deeper, letting go of any last bits of tension that are hanging around. Allowing yourself to settle into this conversation and be present to what we are about to get into. So, welcome again, Vienda.
Hello.
Hello. So, something I appreciate about you and why I have loved just following your journey ever since I found you is you are totally into manifesting, which I love too. And you're also into living aligned with your cycles. And you have a very unconventional lifestyle, which requires you to not allow yourself to be confined by your limiting beliefs. So, I think who you are and what you do is like almost too big to put into a simple words or sentence. But do you want to tell us what it is in your own best words?
I would love to. So, I mean, I do several different things. As you mentioned, I kind of work on the crossroads of intuitive living and manifesting and creativity and business and really creating a life that is entirely your own by your own values and by what really, really calls to you in life. And so that is really hard to put into an elevator pitch, like, hi, I'm a person who does many things that make me happy.
Yes, it is.
Yes. And then I'd like to just share what I'm learning. So in some ways, I see myself as a teacher and a guide, but really, I'm just channeling what I'm learning and sharing it with the world, because isn't that what we're all here for?
Yeah. I guess what you do, in my words, would be exactly that, exactly what you just said. And you give us a peek into this wildly unconventional lifestyle that you've chosen not out of some external source, but from listening to your internal source, from your intuition and your inner guidance. And so something I've loved is you've spent a year traveling around New Zealand, and you've lived in all these different places. You've basically traveled in a van, sort of living out of that. You've rented different houses. You've done all this you've just like so free spirited, but the whole time you were still running a business and like in a relationship and like just like have these really rooted grounding type of things that most people would be like, how can you do all that and have a business? So yeah. So I really want to know what your, because I think this is really useful for a lot of the listeners too, who are all unconventional, intuitively guided people. And I want to know, what are the concepts that your approach to business is rooted in or are rooted in? What are those concepts?
It's a really good question. You know, I never started my business because I was like, I'm going to become a businesswoman and do great things in the world. I literally started my business out of a need to support the kind of life that I wanted. So it came down to lifestyle, not, what's the career that I want. I literally was like on my knees at some point asking for guidance and saying, you know, this is the life I want to live because I feel that this is my truth. And I feel that this is the way forward in the world in general. And I don't feel aligned to the very strict and limiting ideas of how work and life have to look that I see in our more traditional world. Mm-hmm. And so I want a different way. And so my business really is just an expression of my life and a way of supporting the life that I want and that I continuously could create for myself. So it wasn't like, I'm going to have a business. I was really like, how can I support myself financially and in a way that's really practical and grounded to live my best life?
Yeah. So when you were kind of starting out with this, what were some of the big limiting beliefs that you had to face? Like, what were there some giant fears that you had to kind of pop or bring back into your heart and own?
Oh my God, there were so many. I have to say.
Yeah.
I have to say the first year in business was probably one of the most transformative times in my life, because one of the things that happens when you step into business is you really have to look at all of your shadows, because they all come at you from every direction. So some of the biggest lessons and limiting beliefs and ideas that I had to work around were learning to value myself. So even just recognizing that what I do and how I do it is valuable in the world was a huge step for me. It was because we're so accustomed to ourselves, and what we do and who we are is so natural to us. We don't recognize it as being value and as being something special or something that could set you apart from the rest of the world. We often assume that what we have and what we are is like what everyone is.
Right. Yeah.
So that one was really huge. Another huge thing was money, my attitude to money. You know, if you want to earn money, you need to really have a relationship with it. And up until that point, I mean, I could make money and spend money easily, but my relationship to money was really unhealthy. And so I would, even though I could make money easily, I would spend it really, really fast. And I often ended up in this horrible cycle where I'd be stressed because I had no money left and I had to make more. And it wasn't until I started my business that I really had to address that, because before I could just be like, I'm going to do this work, I'm going to do this for that person, I'm going to do this and I get money. But when you have your own business, you literally have to create that money yourself. And I recognized that one of my biggest patterns was a really, really deeply ingrained thing that I'd learned as a child. So I have a bit of a strange family background. So I spent a lot of time living with my grandparents as well as my parents, who were always separated. So it was one or the other. And my Austrian grandmother, so I'm half Austrian, half Italian, and my Austrian grandmother was a really traditional housewife. And so she was trying to raise me to be the perfect housewife so I can cook and clean. And like, I have all of these horrible housewife skills. They're not horrible, but you know, they've brought me a lot of lessons, I have to say.
So are you a good housewife now?
I can be, but I don't like to be, if that makes sense. So like, I'm really good at cooking and cleaning, but I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, it's your turn to cook and clean, God damn it. And so she never dealt with money. In her mind, it's a man's role to take care of the money. My grandfather, who worked, obviously, would take care of all the finances, and he would give her like a weekly allowance for the household goods and things like that. And also, they'd grown up in the Second World War, so they still had those really strong lack beliefs and fears around running out of food and running out of money and all of that. So all of that influenced their attitudes around money too. And so then I got to my mid to late 20s and I was starting my business, and I was like, what is this weird thing that I have with money? Like, why can I not seem to grasp it? Why can I not seem to keep it? What's going on? And I looked deeper and deeper into it, and I realized that I had, and I felt really quite ashamed when I realized this. I realized I had this subconscious belief that I was waiting for a man to come and sort out my money issues. And so because I believed it was a man's job to take care of money, I never took responsibility for my role and my relationship with money. And I was like, I'm a modern independent woman who earns her own living. Why on earth do I believe that a man has to come and take care of my money? But that was my subconscious belief. I was literally like, one day I'm going to meet a nice man. He's just going to organize all my finances for me. And until then, I can just be frivolous.
So how'd that work out for you?
Well, I had no money like all the time. Yeah. So that didn't work well at all.
So how did you, when you realized this belief, what did you do? Did the realization of the belief itself just dissolve it, or did you take specific actions to get at the root of it and transform it?
I took immediate action. And I have to say, at first I was like, I was shocked, because isn't it weird that we have subconscious beliefs that we are unwitting to? To me, I was like, how is this possible that I secretly believe this deep down? So I was shocked. And then the next day I just changed the way I was relating with money. And I opened up 4 savings accounts.
Whoa.
I know, I was like going all the way in, because I'd read that you're meant to put 10% of your earnings into savings accounts, and I took it to heart. So I opened up 4 savings accounts for the 4 things that were really important to me in my life at that moment. And the 4 things were, I wanted a self-love savings account for those moments where I just needed some support, because I found myself being in this cycle of not having money, not being able to give myself what I needed.
Mm.
And that felt really stressful and awful on so many levels. So I opened an account that I actually, like with my bank, you can actually name each account. So the first one was called Self Love. The second one was called Home Sweet Home, because I decided I wanted to buy a house. And I didn't know where or when. I just knew that that was something I wanted, and that would help make me feel secure and comfortable and all the things that I was craving. Then I opened a 3rd account called Biz Love. So it was for business expenses, for tax, for all those things that also would stress me out. And then the 3rd one, which was called Travel Love, because I love to travel and it's always good to have money for a flight if you need it.
Yeah.
And then obviously I had like a spending account, so the money that I spend for daily living, and then the account that my money that I was earning was going into. So all of a sudden I had this really structured approach, and what I learned was that money loves order, and money loves to know where it's going and what it's for. And when it knows that, it accumulates so much more easily and quickly than when it just sits there with no real attachment to what it is you want. I feel like money and manifesting go hand in hand very, very closely. And so being very specific around what you're doing with your money helps not just you, but also the relationship with your money, to have a real clear identity.
I love your 4 savings accounts. That is such a great idea. Did you put 10% into each, or did you have a certain, like?
I put 10% into each.
Wow. So that's big. That's big to put 40% of your earnings away for these different causes. But that's such a huge action step and commitment that's showing your conscious and unconscious self and the universe, like, hey, these things matter to me. So, yeah. Hey, bring it.
Exactly. It was huge, because I used to have a really hard time defining specific things that I needed and wanted. And that was one of the biggest steps for me, to be like, no, I really, truly want to feel financially comfortable and secure in the work that I do. And this is how, and this is why.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's like, when you start looking at your limiting beliefs around money, it is shocking. Like you said earlier, you were like, what? I can't believe this. Like, what? So that's a great example and story. Thank you for sharing that and giving us that peek inside of that process. I'm wondering if it's okay if we talk more about money, because I think,
yeah, sure.
Okay. So what other limiting beliefs have you uncovered around your relationship with money, and how have you essentially healed your relationship with money since then? What else has been big?
Oh, that's such a good question. I have to think about it at the moment. Like, this year has been just such a graceful, beautiful year, and every year it's been getting better. So that's been really wonderful. Oh, you know, one thing that I did at the beginning of this year, which I found really fascinating and helpful, was I rewrote my money story. So we all have a money story, and the money story comes again from the lessons and the things that we've been passed down from our parents usually, and from the people that we've seen around us with the way they manage and handle money. And so a lot of us do have some really uncomfortable ideas and thoughts around money. Many, many people believe that having money makes you a bad person.
Yeah.
Which is a huge one, because actually money provides you with choices and with the ability to vote. You know, people, the strange state that we're in with our politics at the moment, the largest statement we can make is with the choices we make with our money. And I'm kind of getting off track here. So let me go back to
I'm right there with you though. I love this because that's so true. And I think that's such a potent point that money, unfortunately, it really is power. So if you want to own your power, you have to own your power and your relationship with money. And you've just laid out a perfect example of you vote with your money. When you have more money to buy stuff that matters to you, you are essentially funneling power and choice and lifting that up.
Yeah, I agree so much.
Yeah.
So I looked at what my story with money still was. And, you know, every year it's been getting cleaner and better and healthier. But I feel like, I don't know, but I feel like this journey never really ends. And whether it's with money or with anything else in your life, we're able to constantly rewrite those stories that we hold, because just because we've learned something at some point in our lives and decided it's true, it doesn't mean it's true forever. And at some point we might get to a place where we're like, actually, that does not align with the direction I'm moving anymore, and I really want to rewrite that concept or that idea that I hold inside myself. So I looked at the way that I was still seeing money, and one of the things that I noticed was that I had the beliefs around money. It has to be hard work to make money, or it takes a lot of time. Like, I have to dedicate and devote a lot of time. Another huge thing is we have this idea that time equals money. And so we think the more time we invest in something, the more money we can get out of it. But that's not true either. It's actually the smarter we are in the way that we value ourselves and the way that we use what we can give to the world, the more money we make. And so really, I sat down and I wrote this letter in my journal. And it doesn't say dear money, but it says essentially, like, this is how I really want to feel about the money that I make. And it's about ease. And it's about, I'm going to see if I can find it because I have my journal next to me. Oh, yeah, here we go. It's called Alignment and Money. Can I read a little bit to you?
Oh, please. And also, I'm picturing like you and money riding in a convertible down the highway. Like, I love you, money. Like, but yes, please. Yes. Share with us your journal.
The first sentence is, I'm deeply wanting to find myself in the space of knowing at a cellular level that I am supposed to have everything I want. Living in a culture and amongst people that steadfastly proclaim that life is filled with financial lack and shortcomings, that is no easy feat. But I want to, without fear or resistance, be strong enough to openly receive the spectacularly large sums of money that I'm calling into my life and the courageous groundedness to make use of them in the very best possible ways. And so it goes on like that and really speaks to money in the way that I want to have a relationship with, but felt at the time that I do not yet. And, you know, we're like, what, 8 months in? And I can see how this letter that I wrote is being experienced. I'm embodying it. It's so incredible how I really love to use intentions in my life, how when we set intentions and we just trust they will come about, they do.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. And what a powerful exercise that anyone listening can replicate, even if it's not the beginning of the year. They can just start like right now and check in throughout the next year from now. It's like something so powerful. Or start now for the remainder of the year and do it again on New Year's Eve. Whatever.
Exactly. Yeah, whatever feels right. There's no better time than now.
So something that you mentioned in that, in those sentences of your letter is it related to this expansion of receiving. And I think I'm just going to, since I don't know as much about your view on this, this is something I would love to talk to you about now that we're talking here in this space. but something is, when I found for myself, when I open up to more and more receiving of money or anything, of anything really, I also have to face all of my or face not all maybe some of my limiting beliefs around my own self-worth and myself as the divine and the power of the divine to create, like, or the universe, God, goddess, whatever words you want to use. So I'm wondering if you have come up against those in your own experiences with setting strong intentions to receive big things and then receiving them and having to face the ugly fears and beliefs around your own worth and around the power of the creative force of the universe.
Oh my God. Yes. I mean, even I noticed that was coming up for me this weekend with the eclipse stuff.
Yeah.
And I feel like we work through layers and layers of this. But again, on a really, really superficial level, when I started journaling, because I was like, I don't feel good. What's going on? So I was at a festival. So I was in my tent. Mm-hmm. And I got my journal out and I was like, I feel weird. Like, what's going on? And at the beginning, it was really superficial. Like, I don't feel like I look good enough, or like I wanted to be more like this and this and this. And I was like, okay, so this is, you know, on a superficial level, it's all about what I look like. But on a deeper level, what that means is I am questioning my self-worth, and I'm questioning if I'm good enough, and I'm self-sabotaging myself, because that's a cycle that many of us have picked up from our parents, from our society. Because I'm stepping, and this always happens when I'm about to step into something big and new, because I'm stepping into something bigger and newer that I have not been in before. And so there's this fear part of me that's trying to sabotage that by bringing up all of my insecurities. And I think as a human being, we're never going to completely move past this concept of, am I good enough? Because there's this humanness in us that will keep reminding us of the fact that we are human. And then there's the other part of us that is beyond human, that is non-physical, that is energy, that is spirit, that is actually God or goddess, that knows that that stuff doesn't matter. But we are constantly having this inner struggle between the two. And every now and then, the human part acts up and is like, hey, you know what? You are just a freaking human. Who do you think you are? And sometimes if we're not vibing high enough, we go, oh my God, maybe you're right. Like, who am I to be trying to do all of these amazing things? And I think it's actually really healthy to go through that process, but without attachment. So I've journaled about it. That's my way of processing it and releasing it and letting it go in that instant, because I know if I don't, I'll hold on to it, and I'll physically hold on to it. And that causes me so many problems in so many ways.
Yeah.
And so I address it and I allow myself to feel it, but also allow myself to recognize that that is just a tiny part of myself, and that is not the whole picture, and that is not the truth. And it's okay to question yourself, and then it's okay to move past that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 I also feel like, oh, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm obviously not enlightened or anything. So, but maybe Buddha didn't feel that anymore. I'm not studied up on Buddhism. So I have no idea what the sacred texts say around that. But, you know, as that human experience, it's like, actually, if you have the tools and awareness to notice that when that voice speaks up, oh, that's my voice. Let's give it some time and space and a hug and attention and whatever it needs. And we'll just like nurture that and bring it back into, you know, whatever to the present moment. And it's like, that's what's so powerful, when you can notice, oh, that, like you said, that's my little human self popping up to freak mm-hmm. out. Like, ah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, perfect.
I feel like for me, the biggest turning point, so when I, you know, to go back to your question towards the beginning about what some of the biggest limiting beliefs were starting my business, definitely self-worth and believing in myself was huge. And at the time, I used to attach to that human voice too much, and it would bring me into a place of fear, of not being able to move forward with the things that I wanted to create, with feeling stuck, with feeling too small, with playing small, because I believed that human voice. And I would be like, yes, you're right, who am I? And then I'd stay there. And what I learned over time was that human voice, while it's good to give it that space and time, like you said, it's not the most important thing. the most important thing is actually to recognize that each and every one of us is a form of expression of the entire universe. And if we do not allow that expression to come through because our little human voice was like, oh my God, I don't think you can do it, then we're failing ourselves and the lives that we've been given. Our purpose is actually to be that expression and move beyond the little scared voices.
That evolution. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This podcast is brought to you by Evolution of Soul Expansion. yeah, so totally. So before we, there's something I also want to ask about you about, but before we move on to that, is there anything else you want to share about the your business evolution and your experience of healing your relationship with money and coming into a more soulful, loving space with money?
With money, I feel like that's just an ongoing learning, at least it is for me. I don't think like I've hit the know-it-all mark. and I'm just constantly learning. But the one thing that I would like to add in that whole realm, including money and business, is learning to trust my intuition, which may not make much sense and is not particularly logical, over what I think I'm supposed to do. For me, you know, I started my business thinking, oh my God, I have no idea how to run a business. I'm like a bit of a fluffy creative who doesn't have that much structure and and pragmatic thinking in her. So I'm going to just do what I see other people do, because obviously that works.
And you got to start somewhere though.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like you say, it's a good starting point, but it didn't work for me. I really struggled for a whole year following all the rules. And then one day I was like, you know what? You've either got to give up this business or you've got to do it differently. And within 2 weeks, I completely rebranded and changed the way that I approached everything and the way that I wrote, the way that I presented myself, and just was a lot more authentic and real and messy and honest about it. And it was like I went from having a trickle of income and clients to a full calendar in a really short space of time, because the people who had been following me finally saw me stand up and be myself. Because you know what? The internet is so amazing. If you work online, you know, we can feel each other and we can feel when we're not showing up fully. And that brings up resistance in wanting to participate and wanting to make purchases and wanting to be a part of what someone's doing. And as soon as they fully stand in their embody who they are and what they're there for and really honestly share their messages, we're so much more invested in them. And that definitely happened to me. And every time I make a big business decision, it's always the ones that make no sense and were totally intuitive that work the best. As opposed to the ones where like, oh, that seems like a strategic, fantastic way to approach this.
Yeah.
So, and I think that like that's not just in business, that's in life. But for me, learning to apply that rule in business was much harder than to apply it in life. Because in life, I felt like I had nothing to lose. I was like, you know, life is life. It's just going to keep going. But in business, I felt like I had a lot to lose, which also wasn't true. It was just a limiting belief.
Take that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it sounds like one of the kind of big shifts, and actually I would like to just keep going into this rather than what I thought I was going to ask, because this is something that comes up again and again for intuitive people, and especially intuitive women and femme identified people, is in business, is like, do I do the like mental strategizing, or do I just do what my gut's telling me and just like show who I really am? You know, because there's this kind of, oh, you have to be this image, you have to like do this photo shoot, you have to have this type of website and these type of packages and like da da da, whatever it is, you know, whatever your different business niches. You know, there's like a look, you can tell, I mean, you can instantly tell if someone's just like following the kind of quote rules or if they're being themselves. And
totally.
So it sounds like that was one huge kind of aha thing for you in the shifting of your business. But what you know, was there anything else, or because I know in my own business, like I love strategizing And but it's like intuitive strategizing. I don't know. Do you feel that? Do you get that?
I totally feel that. It's really funny to me because I only notice it in when I look back that I was like, oh, actually, that was really strategic. So when I actually try to be strategic, it doesn't work. But when I follow my intuition, and I know that it's my intuition is because I get this really inspired, creative, passionate drive to do something, and that thing takes the shape and form of itself for itself, and it usually happens quite quickly, and I feel really energized and happy and light when I'm doing it, and then it's completed and the excitement is there and I share it, and this all happens so spontaneously, and then afterwards I'm like, wow, so I just like increased my list by this amount, and I didn't even mean to, I just was really excited about this thing but I'm really glad. And so I actually feel like my intuition is a lot more strategic than my mind could ever be. But I can never know that until I see it from the perspective of looking back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And so I get the sense that you're also probably someone who has business experience and who probably did a lot of training around business, especially online business, but who once you said, okay, I've tried it this kind of quote unquote the how you're supposed to do it way, and then move to following your intuition, that your intuition actually used some of those techniques and tools to put together the ideas. Because I feel like, and some, you know, I guess what I'm getting at here is some people do just go into business without ever like studying or reading business, and it works for them. Mm-hmm. But other people mm-hmm. have to go and read and learn and have support and like have some sort of structure and framework and container and process and steps and like tools in order to be like, how do I actually put this business together? Mm-hmm. So where I'm going with this is it feels like you probably did a lot of that studying and then kind of threw you like read it all or did it all or tried it all and like threw it out. And then your intuition just kind of picked and chose from that database that you have in your mm-hmm. in your deep knowing and pulled out different things that, you know, they weren't a mental strategy that you're like, I'm going to do this and this and this will be the result. But it was like, oh, my gosh, you had this like internal library that your intuition could pull from and add to. Is that right? Or I mean, because I don't want to give the impression that it's like, oh, if you just live in if you just start a business and you're just following your intuition, it'll all work out. Because I feel like there's also like tell us about the strategizing or educational side. Yeah, the structure.
Yeah. I'm really glad you brought that up because it's true. And I do have a system around that, and which
system,
I will share.
Yes.
Yeah. So which I will share in just a moment. So I didn't do a lot of studying. I did B school, which many people have heard of.
Marie Forleo's B School.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Marie Forleo's B School. I'm an affiliate for them. And I did that when I first decided I wanted to have a business of my own. And I really enjoyed the course. But I realized what it gave me beyond anything else was the confidence to just start.
Right.
And then what has been my biggest teachers, I have to say, and maybe that's just my learning style, but is watching other people in business do different things and then picking out the things that I really enjoyed. And so to give you an idea of what my system looks like when I'm creating things, the content creating is really intuitive. Uh-huh. And then putting the structure around it happens afterwards. So what I'll do is just, and this is the intuitive part, is just like let whatever's inside me out. And then when it's out, I will start to break it down into smaller pieces so that it's easy for people to absorb, because I recognize even in myself that there's only so much you can take in mm-hmm. a day, in a moment, in an email. And so I would take whatever has been intuitively laid down and break it down into really easily consumable pieces in ways that are fun and playful and exciting and interesting and helpful. You know, it's really important to me that I share things that are really valuable and that work and that make it immediate impact and I get rid of the fluff. I'm really, really, really not into fluff. I like, you know, I love woo-woo and I love beautiful things, but I'm not into excess. I'm a bit of a minimalist in my life in general, including my work and including in my what I want to share. So I want to keep it simple and easy for everyone to make use of. And so after intuitive dump, you always have to put structure on everything. Otherwise, I mean, like, I'm sure you've written things or you've created things and it's just a mountain of stuff until it's turned into something that has some structure. But I feel like that's different. Like that's not even a strategic thing. It's just a really practical thing. Kind of like when you make a meal, you could have three courses, but you're not going to mix all the three courses in one pot and then put them on someone's plate and be like, there you go, that's three courses, enjoy.
Yum.
Like, oh, this looks like a mess, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, and B-School, I'm sure, you said it helped you with the confidence to begin and, like, gives you a few steps in. I've never taken it, but I've seen a lot of things about it. If you're in the online space doing business, you see B-School. But that, yeah, the intuitive flow, letting the flow out. And what I like, what I hear and what I see and what I like about this is you're allowing who and what you are to just be, and you're then nurturing it to grow and be shared and to nurture others. It's like this kind of nurturing cycle of like, ah, this is what's coming through. This is what is. And so I'm going to let it through. And then I'm going to figure out where it wants to go and just help it. Almost like you have this intuitive writing and then you're like, got this little writing baby and you're like, little writing baby, what do you want to be when you grow up? It's like, I want to be an email. And you're like, all right. And like, you let it, you nurture it into that space where it can go and touch other people's lives. And I think that's a key concept too, probably in shifting from like, I need to do this because I should, into being like, I am this and I'm going to nurture it into what it is, like into its fullness.
I like the way you've illustrated that. That's really cute.
Little writing baby. Yeah. Yeah. And so, the business. I love it. So something else about business, you do share a look into your life. And because of that, I know that you have actually bought a house. So your savings account must have helped that to manifest and to also be a possibility when the potential showed up. Mm. So that's something that's been cool to watch and see, is your unexpected sort of like seed of a house being sprouted and growing. Can you give us a peek into your manifesting cycle and, like, you know, because you obviously in this conversation, we've seen, oh, you got clear that that's something you wanted. So you started putting intention towards that in the form of saving. And then what?
You know, every intention or every desire comes from a contrasted experience. And you were speaking at the beginning about how you enjoyed watching me travel. And the thing is, I've been traveling for 12 years.
Wow.
It's a long time. And while I wouldn't have it any differently, I think my body grew a little bit tired a few years ago. It was like, you know, this has been awesome, but I'm getting tired and I also want a place to put my shit. And so from that contrast of like not having a place of my own, living out of bags for years and years and years, literally owning six boxes in storage for over 10 years, grew this feeling of I want a place where I can breathe and fill my tank and rest and call my own, where I'm not living in someone's spare room or renting a room or a house, or I did a lot of house sitting and or like just moving around constantly. And so from this really strong desire of like, I want my own space, came the intention. And so what do you need for that to happen? Well, you need money. And I had no idea, and I had no set specific plan of where or when this would happen. I just had this really deep trust that it would show up exactly when it was supposed to. And at the same time, I would regularly, and when I say regularly, I'd say every few months, like just when it felt right in my journal, write about the kind of home that I wanted. So where it would be, what would be close, so like farmers markets and a beach, and I could ride my bike, and I could, you know, the place would be filled with light and love. One thing that was really important to me, that I was going to live in a place that was filled with love, and it would feel really peaceful, and I'd be happy there, and I could be creative. And so I didn't say like it has to be a brownstone in New York, for example, but it was more like what the feelings were that I wanted to have in that space. And it's so interesting. And I lead a 30-day journaling course, and I talk about the process of manifesting the house, because when I first created the course, I just bought the house. So it was very exciting.
Oh, cool.
And I write about how I look back at my journal, and all of the words I've written are exactly what this place is, and that I'd never really, you know, I never knew it could come into form in this way. But just having that intention and being really clear on it, and touching on it and coming back to it regularly and adding to it and removing from it and letting it evolve in your imagination and in your heart really is what we create our reality through mm-hmm. doing this all day, every single day. And we just, the more we're aware of that in all different ways in our lives, the more we take responsibility and are empowered to create our lives to be however we want them to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful. Well said. I want to reflect that too for listeners, just so it can sink in. Like, this is really powerful stuff to do, to get intentional and clear about what you desire. Because I have also manifested multiple homes that I had no idea where they would be. I even have like surrendered. I've been like, universe, I've tried living in 13 places in the past year and a half, like take me where the one is. And it did. And I was like, I never would have chosen this, but it had everything down to the old oak tree in the backyard. I mean, it's like,
wow. Great.
When you look back at your journals of what you've dreamed of and you are actually living it, you're like, oh, you can't deny it anymore. It's like, that's, you're creating your reality.
Yeah.
And so now you have your home in British Columbia, which is awesome, and congratulations. And there's a part in there that's so key, and I think a lot of people struggle with it, and they would love to hear more about this, is you trusted it, that whatever you were guided to was not only aligned for you, but was also going to become your reality. And you didn't explicitly say this, but you let go of your expectations about what mm-hmm. it had to be. And you said that in so many words, I'm just summing it up here. How have you come to trust? Like, what does that, you know, what, so many people struggle with that. So many people struggle with trusting themselves or the universe and letting go of their expectations. So there, let us in on how you came to that.
Oh my God. Yes. I'm so happy we're talking about this. Trust is such a good topic. In my perception, trust is a decision. And, you know, lots of people will go approach this with, prove to me that I can trust you and then I'll trust you. And they approach relationships like that and the entire universe and themselves like that. And trust doesn't work that way. It says, choose trust and I'll show you that you chose the right thing. And so trust truly is a decision, and you can just make that decision whenever you've come to a point where you realize that the only way is trust.
Yeah.
and then you decide and then you commit. And once you decide and you commit and you wholeheartedly really go in there and you don't sit on the wall and go like, I kind of trust you, but I kind of want it to be proven to me. when you fully step into trust, then that's exactly what happens. And you can, I can see it in a relationship. So for example, quite a few years ago, I was in love with a beautiful man. And at the beginning of our relationship, we had a bit of a funny whirlwind where he was like, I want an open relationship. And I was like, no, like, that's just not my thing. Sorry, like, you can have that, but just not with me, kind of thing. And then he decided to be with me and not have an open relationship. But because we'd had that conversation, there was a part of me that kind of felt like, can I trust this man to keep his word? Because obviously his intention was that he wanted things to be differently.
Yeah.
And so I spent a few really painful, uncomfortable months of being on that fence of being like, I want to trust him, but can I trust him? I want to trust him, but can I trust him? And then having like this itch to check his phone and then being like, no, Vianda, like, that is not okay. And like this itch of like, you know, overhearing conversations. Is he talking to a girl? And does he like her? And then I was like, you know what? This is really uncomfortable and really painful. And the only person who's feeling this pain is me. And so I decided that I had a choice. I could either trust him or I could not trust him and leave him, because you can't not trust someone and be with them. Like, that's just, that it doesn't
sabotage,
work that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, I really love him. I really like him a lot and I'm going to trust him. And I chose trust. And it took me probably a week to fully step into it and be like, no. Every time a little fear came up, I was like, no, I chose trust. And it come up again, I'd be like, no, I'm choosing trust. And finally that went away. And trust is what stayed. And we had no other complications in our relationship. And I could trust him fully. And it was just because I made that decision.
Yeah.
And it works the same way with everything. Like, do I trust myself? Yes or no? Like, who should I trust more than me?
Right. That's a big one for people to test out and learn.
So in my perception, really, trust is a choice and you get to make that choice and commit to it. And it's up to you. It's 100% up to you. But don't wait for trust to prove itself to you. You prove yourself to trust and then see what happens.
Beautiful. Love it. And I guess within that trusting is you really have to just be present and let go of the expectations. Like, they kind of go hand in hand of you trust that whatever shows up is going to be aligned with either what you're asking for in your life, what you're co-creating, or what's limiting beliefs you're holding that are showing up to be addressed, to, you know, in those kind of like undesirable situations.
I like to have this belief that life and the universe is always trying and wanting to bring me to my highest possible experience, my best possible life, and that everything that's happening is guiding me towards that. And sometimes things happen where you're like, you know what, that's really crap. Like, I'm not really happy about that. But when you look at it from the perspective of what is it teaching me, where is it taking me, and what does it want me to learn so it can keep guiding me towards this higher place, it really releases a lot of the contraction and resentment and resistance that we can create and build up when things don't go our way.
Yeah.
And this is where also really not having attachment to a specific outcome comes in. Our minds are very limited. Our minds can only make decisions and create ideas based on what we've already experienced. And they're not really good at seeing what's beyond that, whereas our spirit and our soul and our intuition has a much broader view of what's possible in the world. And so when we allow our minds to come up with expectations like, my husband or my boyfriend is going to ask me to marry me by December and that's going to prove that he truly loves me, that is a very, very limited and limiting intention to put out there, because A, you're trying to control and manipulate an outcome that involves someone else, and every human being has a free will and you cannot control or manipulate
black
that
magic.
Exactly. And also it's really, really about limiting your own sense of self-worth, because what you're actually saying is, if this doesn't happen, I am not worth as much as I thought or hoped I was. And so it's really, really unhealthy and unhelpful. Whereas if you created and set intentions like, I want to truly feel loved and cherished and adored by my partner, and I don't care what that looks like, but I care what that feels like, because I want to feel it. I want to feel it to my bones. How that can manifest is going to show up really differently, because, you know, maybe otherwise you'll get someone who doesn't really want to get married or isn't truly feeling that in that space, or just feels manipulated and like they have to. And you will feel that in your bones too. Even if they ask you to marry them just because you think that's what you want, doesn't mean that you're getting the feeling that you originally craved and asked for.
So beautifully shared. Thank you. And I know definitely there are listeners who are like, oh, shit, she just called me out, you know? Yeah. Yeah. So something that I'm curious about is, who do you go to for support? Do you have mentors, teachers, guides? Like, how do you get that support? Because you mentioned you had that savings account for that. Mm-hmm. So where do you find that?
I don't have a specific group of mentors. And again, this is where I often find myself on my knees asking for help. I'm like, universe, help me. And what happens is I'm constantly being guided to different people and books and resources that really, really support me in whatever I'm working through at the moment. So I'm a real believer that you are your own guru. But at the same time, that there are so many incredible people with so much beautiful, incredible, amazing, valuable advice and insight that you can always tap into that. And so for me, for example, with money, there's a few books that have really helped me. Overcoming Under Earning by Barbara Stanley was the book that taught me about the fact that I was waiting for my Prince Charming to solve all my money issues. Yes. And while she doesn't write about that specifically, it was just one sentence. She does take you through a process of looking at those beliefs that we hold around money. Another book that I recently, is an audiobook that I recently listened to, is Know Your Worth by Amanda something, I think. I can't remember her name, but she runs a website. I think it's called Worth It or something like that.
I'll look them up and put all links to these books in the show notes too.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And she just taught me, you know, something that I'm recently learning about is investing, because, you know, as I said, the money journey continues. And so I'm learning about investing right now. Cool. Which I never, you know, 10 years ago, I would have been like, I am never, ever going there. So it's amazing how things change.
That's funny.
What else has really helped me? Definitely with manifesting, all of the Abraham Hicks stuff, especially Ask and It Is Given, has been incredible. What else? A beautiful book I recently read was The Medical Mystic or Mystic.
The Medical Medium. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's it, medical yep. medium. Mm-hmm. That's it, which was really, really helpful in my health journey. So, I don't have specific mentors, but there's so many amazing people out there. And every time I ask for help, it'll just show up. Someone will mention it. Like the Medical Mystic book, it showed up in different conversations, I think 5 times in 1 week. And I was like, okay, I get it. I get it. I'll buy the book. Mm-hmm. I definitely need to hear this. So I would say look for the signs. Always look for the signs. Look for the signs, because they're always there. They're always guiding us and showing us where we need to go and what we need to listen to. And at the same time, be careful with what you allow in. There is so much information, especially if you spend any time on Facebook or anything like that. It can get really overwhelming and drown out your own inner voice, because not all information is applicable to you. So really trust and honor what you're called towards, and then just allow yourself to skip over anything that doesn't feel like it's calling you.
Right.
There's a reason for that. And then I have to say, spending time in nature. I mean, isn't nature the most potent and wise mentor there is? I always look at nature and I look at the way it does things. I'm like, there's my answer every time.
Totally. Nature is my mentor, teacher, healer, and guide, amongst people too. But I love that. And maybe that would be a great thing to get deeper into with your experience about that with our secret episode.
Oh, I'd love that.
Yeah, very cool. And also, I'm just on a personal note, since you actually have roots now in a home that's in a place that's not moving, it'll be fun to watch if some sort of community or something, right? If you start to connect in with something that you never could have because you were on the move or on the road, or if that starts to unfold, who knows? But
yeah,
that'll be, because it makes sense to see, like, oh yeah, if you're always moving and always going, you can tap in and you can make a lot of friends and join communities. But what happens when you stay in one place and you are no longer thinking about certain things you had to think about when you're on the road, and now other things, as you said, the journey continues, what will show up? And I don't know, I think I have a feeling that it's going to be community, so just saying.
I'm excited to see what shows up. And you know, it doesn't surprise me that you say that, because it's definitely something that I've been calling in. I had what I call a traveling family, so people that I knew that I could find all over the world moving around. Mm-hmm. But when you stop moving, a different kind of depth can come into those experiences. And oh my God, my heart yearns for community so much. So I'd love that to come true.
Well, yeah. I'm definitely like, just, it's like, hey, over here. So I'm like, all right. So I think it's coming. Very cool. So I definitely want people to know where they can find you, and if you have any freebies they should check out, or where you want them, you know, what do you offer? What's, if they're like, yeah, I love this lady, where do they go?
Great question. Oh my God, I have so many great things to give away and to share. So the best place to find me is on my website, of course, which is viandamaria.com. It's just my name. Another great place just to connect and hang out and have lots of fun is Instagram. I love Instagram because it's pretty and like you can just really interact with people. And that again is viandamaria, my name. And for resources, I mean, the world is changing so, so quickly at the moment.
Yeah.
And I feel like the best thing we can do is really dig deep into our souls and have those conversations with ourselves that provide grounding and that provide guidance and that provide focus and clarity in the direction that we're moving. So we're not just like willowing about in an ocean of emotions and sadness. And I have lots of stuff for that. So manifesting is definitely one of my favorite things. And if you go to the free things tab on my website, you can find my free 7-day manifesting course, where I teach you exactly the tools that I use to manifest the things that I want in my life, including my journaling practices. And I've had so many people take this course, like thousands and thousands of people. And I get emails all the time like, I just manifested the relationship of my dreams, or I manifested a new car for free, or I manifested. And like, so it's tangible things as well as lifestyle and all the things that we want, which is really awesome. What else do I share? I share how to use the energy of the days of the week. So something that I really love and love to play with is astrology. I just love the way it feels, and I love the way that you can connect with yourself and the universe at the same time through astrology. Mm-hmm. And astrologically, the days of the week each have their own meaning. So Monday, for example, is actually moon day. And so Monday is ruled by the moon, And it's all about introspection and being gentle and slow. And they also used to call it Woman's Day. So it was the day that women would go by themselves in the forest and pray to the goddess and give offerings and really communicate with their spiritual aspect, which really explains why in today's society people really hate Mondays, because energetically, naturally, Mondays are not about starting the new week and having all this energy. It's actually about being introspective and gentle and kind to yourself and quiet. And so everyone's like, oh, I hate Monday. I don't know why. And it's because, well, like the energy is wrong.
Yeah.
So I have a really cool resource on that.
Very cool.
I also have some full moon and new moon ritual journaling rituals that are really fun and useful. And then,
but there's more.
Oh, there's more. If you want to learn more about business, I recently two weekends ago, released a course called The Heartful Biz, which is, I'm so proud of it. And it's full of so much good content with a good friend of mine, Claire Baker, who actually she's a women's health coach who works on menstrual cycles with women. And so she really brings that aspect into business. So it's me, my intuition and astrology and her menstrual cycles and working with those. And then bringing it into the structure and the systems of running a heart-led business. And that's what the Heartful Business is about.
Very cool.
So it's really, really, yeah. Really
and that's
exciting.
An online, it's like a course that people can do at their own pace. Or,
exactly.
Yeah, okay.
It's set up as a two-day workshop. So it's like, you know, imagine you had a weekend off where you had some time to yourself and you could do the workshop, and it's 4 hours of video content on each day plus a few exercises. So add another couple of hours to actually go through and do the workbook.
Yeah.
And then you're set up on Monday to actually dive in and work on your business.
Or,
and that's how it's set
or
up.
Tuesday.
Or Tuesday, exactly. Preferably Tuesday.
Preferably, yes.
but I always encourage everyone to do things in their own way. You know, if you want to do the two-day workshop over a week or 2 weeks or a month, just follow what feels right. It's set up so you can really do whatever really suits you.
Very cool, very cool. And I love your little offerings. You've got are you offering your 30-day journaling course right now too?
It is. It's really, really, so exciting. It's, I love it. I love because like I have videos and I actually teach about how my journaling process goes. And I actually, you know, the money, rewriting the money story,
mm-hmm.
I teach them exactly how I did that. And I share it with them in that course, which is really, really fun. And it's just like a really easy way to connect and get to know more about me.
Very cool. So that's all at viendamaria.com, and the links will be in the show notes. So y'all can go check that out for sure. And Vianda gets my full endorsement, thumbs up. Yes, yay! So, like, yay. I've really enjoyed your just following along with you and what you're doing. So it's... So thank you for coming on the show. I mean, it's just been delightful to talk to you and not just an email.
It's <fun. laughs> so it's been absolutely incredible. Thank you so much.
Thank you all so much for listening. I really enjoyed this conversation and I hope you enjoyed listening. If you would like this secret episode, you can get it over at dreamfreedombeauty.com/secret. And just like I mentioned in the beginning, I am launching a new podcast series, a new show about self-care, and I'm offering affordable sponsorship advertising packages to those of you who would like to connect with and reach out to your ideal audience, who are the listeners of these shows that I love to produce. So if you have a product, a service, an artistic creation, or an offering that you would like to get in front of thousands of your ideal clients and customers, then get in touch. Go to dreamfreedombeauty.com, click contact, and just get in touch and let me know, and I'll give you all the info. All right, I'll be back next week with another amazing interview.